Just like performance art, literature has the power to shed light on a possibly misunderstood or stereotyped population. 2 years ago, we interviewed two local Muslim women, not about Islamophobia or wearing headscarves, but about their intimate stories of love. These stories were told in an anthology called Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. Well, the book created such a stir, the editors Aisha Matu and Noura Maznavi were bombarded with letters from Muslim men saying, hey, we have love stories too, and we want to tell them. So this year witnessed the birth of Salam Love, American Muslim Men on Love, Sex, and Intimacy. Two contributors joined me in studio to talk about their stories in the book, Muhammad Shamma and Randy Nason. We start with Randy reading from his story about learning how to be a supportive husband when the going got tough.
And thus began my emotional metamorphosis. The husband and lover receded as the comforter and caregiver emerged. Being in love with Aisha, with that fiery newlywed passion, seemed unimaginable, because that aspect of love is largely self-serving and self-pleasing. I needed to dedicate the entirety of my emotional reserves to supporting her through a series of progressively aggressive exacerbations and medical procedures that were often frightening and occasionally dangerous.
Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello. So my story is called Becoming Family, and it's really about my journey in becoming a husband and a father, and the emotional investment and the commitment that goes along with that. When we were first married, I didn't know what I was getting into. I suppose that I had an idea of what I thought marriage was going to be like, and I had no idea. And about 6 months into our marriage, Aisha became inexplicably and very seriously ill. And that rattled us. When this happened, it made it very, very clear to me that something wasn't right at the time with our marriage, with our relationship. And it was really because we didn't have enough of a foundation, or perhaps a deep enough foundation, where I was able to support her and connect with her on a substantial emotional level and help her through that process and through that ordeal. That didn't come until much later. And so it was very, very difficult for the first few years.
It's hard to talk about this.
Well,
was it hard to put it on paper?
Yes, it is. And this actually, what you're hearing right now is, it almost, it reflects how I was writing about it. It is so emotionally charged that it's difficult to maintain intellectual clarity while plumbing through the history that is, you know, was very trying and in some ways scarring, but ultimately it brought us closer together.
I've had my implantable cardioverter defibrillator for almost 6 months now. When necessary, my cardiologist can read every heartbeat from the moment he fired it up inside me, my rebirth. He tells me not to obsess about it, but I hear the echoes of my life like the very graphs printed before the doctor. I sing atop the peaks, roar in the valleys, and weep in the caves I've created along the way. Family dance time on Friday nights or Sunday mornings helps me forget about my midlife crisis. As my 5-year-old son Karim mimics Heidi's crazy hip line moves, I spin my daughter Layla round and around until we collapse together, dizzy with laughter. Then the world stops spinning, and I catch my breath.
My name is Muhammad Shamma. By the time I got into university, I was definitely practicing on my own terms. It didn't mean praying 5 times a day. It did mean going to Friday prayer. It did mean that I wanted to stop playing 20 questions with girls I dated who were not Muslim trying to defend Islam to them. It did mean that I wanted to seek a soulmate who was Muslim. For me, that was the extent of what I knew I wanted to do. And I was lucky, I guess, to find someone who was secular but had, you know, grew up in a family that, you know, Islam is part of the environment. It's like the trees. It's like the sky. It's like the river. It's like the the freeway sometimes. You know, it's like bridges. But you decide what type of Muslim you are. And that's how she was raised, and it made me feel so free.
And then you met Heidi.
Correct.
And what did Heidi do for you?
Heidi made me realize that Islam is much bigger, and Muslims are a much bigger group than I had ever imagined. She was a diver for the Egyptian national diving team. And I remember asking her one time, "You're a diver?" As in, like, diving off platform in 10 meter? And she's like, "Yeah, what's your problem?" And and later she would tell me, "This guy probably is totally judging me, thinking that I should be covered." And that was not the case at all. I was trying to pinch myself. I couldn't believe this. And again, I'm, you know, 22 years old in Texas. You know, the only realm of Islam and Muslims I knew were my local mosque and the Egyptian and Arab community around me. Extremely conservative, but, you know, I knew no women who did this. And she was like, I could name 20 other girls that I dive with in Egypt. And I was like, it just opened up my eyes to a new definition of Islam and a new identity for myself as a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. What do you want readers to understand about Muslim men? This is a book about Muslim men's love lives. What do you think, Randy?
I would hope what they take away is that same recognition of we're all the same in that regard, that just because someone identifies with a particular faith, that doesn't make them an other, because, you know, it's that type of mindset that, you know, leads to a lot of awful things. You know, hopefully as people we can continue to evolve and move past some of these artificial barriers. You know, people have so much more in common than they do in difference.
We're humans, and we all, you know, we all have hearts that beat, and we all have stories inside of us.